Well, good morning once again. If you have a Bible, if you could turn to John chapter 20, the Gospel according to John in chapter 20. We'll be in verses 11 through 18. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one somewhere in front of you underneath one of the seats. It's black or blue, and that is a Bible you could open and follow along. In our sermon, we'll hit a few of the passages, two of the verses in that passage this morning. And so that's on page 906. If you don't have a Bible, feel free to take that. And if you don't own a Bible, that's our gift to you. Please take it with you. And we'd encourage you to read it for yourself. We're so glad you're here with us this morning. And if there's not one near you, just ask down your row. Somebody find one for you. We want you to have the Word of God in front of you. Well, on this Easter morning, we're going to look at the account of Mary Magdalene at the empty tomb and with the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. This is John chapter 20, verses 18 through 11. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned around to him and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. Father, we come to give you praise and glory because Christ is risen from the dead. Would you encourage us from your word this morning? Would you show us the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that everything we could ever hope for, everything we could ever seek for in this world, in this life, or the life to come, is found only in Jesus Christ. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Amen. Well, again, we're so glad you're with us this morning. We're delighted that you're here to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you're new and maybe the first time in a church ever even, or you're just here, haven't been in church for a while, we're so glad you're with us this morning and we want to be a help. So if you have ever had any questions about our church, but just about Christianity in general, there's lots of people around you that would love to help you answer those questions for you. I'll be here after the service. Please feel free to let us know. We just want to serve you and be a help to you as much as we can today. Today is a very important day, the end of our Holy Week or Passion Week, as many people call it, because it is all about the resurrection of Jesus. This weekend has been an up and down emotional one for us who follow Christ, that Friday we gathered together to remember that Christ was crucified, that he was nailed to the cross, that he suffered and he died, that he took on our sin, but he did so that we might become the righteousness of God. Friday was a terrible day, a difficult day to remember what Christ went through for us. It was hard for us, but the disciples of Jesus who lived with him and walked with him, it was a terrible, terrible day to watch their teacher, their Lord, suffer and die. They thought it was all over. All hope was lost. Jesus is dead. But we're on the other side of the cross. And so yesterday, Saturday, we wait in anticipation. We wait and we wait knowing that Sunday is coming. and that Jesus will rise from the dead, conquering sin and death, and through his sacrifice on our behalf, as we trust in him, by God's grace, we could be forgiven of our sin, born into brand new life. Everything we've ever sought for in our life, for our joy, our satisfaction, our purpose, everything was founded in Christ. And he's alive. And here we are this morning to give glory and praise that Christ is risen from the dead. So one more time, he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen indeed. What a glorious day it is. Now, I don't know where everybody is here this morning in your relationship to Jesus and what you think about Jesus. Some of you have been going to Easter Sunday services for 70 or 80 years maybe. Some of you, this might be the first time you've ever set foot in a church. And we're so glad you're here, whatever it is that you're here for. But there is a most important question this morning. And it comes right from our passage that Jesus asked Mary, "Who are you seeking?" That's the question of the morning. Who or what are you seeking? What are you looking for in your life? For many of us, it is to come and be reminded that our Lord and Savior did in fact die for our sins, but then he was raised from the dead. That this is really true, that we're born again into new life with Christ, to live with him forever and ever. But for some of you, you're here for different reasons. Maybe you're here just to make some family member or friend happy, thankful that you came with them, and we're glad you're with them. Maybe you're looking for some kind of experience in your life. Maybe you're really checking out, what's the whole deal with this Jesus thing? Is this real? Do people really believe this? Do they really follow him and give their life to him? Whatever reason you're here, it's a good morning to be here. We're going to look this morning at Mary Magdalene's experience after the death of Jesus. And she's going to show back up to the tomb, and it's going to be empty. And we're going to see through her life what joy really looks like, that Jesus is alive. So three things we'll see this morning. First is that in this passage, we'll see that Mary actually thinks that Jesus is dead. She believes he's dead. But then second, we're going to see Jesus reveal himself to Mary. And then finally, we're going to see Mary in her joy of seeing and touching the risen Savior. We're going to see her obedience to go and tell others that she's seen him. But first, we need to come to grips with the reality that Mary thinks that Jesus is actually dead. Right here in verse 11, as we start, we see John, who writes this account, says that Mary is at the tomb and she's weeping. She's weeping at the tomb. Now, a little context. She's already been to the tomb one time. Earlier, she and several other women came to the tomb early that morning, actually before the sun was even up. They came to the tomb. And when they got there, the stone that covered the tomb was rolled away. Shocking to them. The stone was rolled away. And so Mary runs back to the rest of the disciples. And she tells them, the stone's rolled away. And Peter and John go running to see if this is really true. I think they question. It's early in the morning. There's been a lot of grief. Is it really rolled away? They go running. And they run and they see that the tomb is empty. There is no body in the tomb. The grave clothes are laid out right there. And this is when Mary comes back. So she left, and now she comes back to the tomb. There's probably other people around, but she's weeping. And the question is, why is she weeping? Well, it would be easy to think that she's weeping because Jesus is dead. And that is probably part of it. That's probably part of it, right? That she is so sad over the fact that her Savior died. But I think in this account, John is telling us that Mary's weeping because she shouldn't be weeping. I don't think she should be weeping. See, Jesus had told his disciples this was going to happen. This should not have been a surprise to them at all. In Matthew, another account of the Gospels, in Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, Matthew records this: "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised." See, Jesus had told them this was all going to happen. And yet here's Mary at the tomb. It's empty and she's crying because there's no body. There's no body. Somebody, she thinks, has taken the dead body of Jesus, and she's weeping over it. She didn't understand yet. None of the disciples really at this point understood. They didn't really understand. How do we know that? Look just ahead in chapter 20 in verse 9. John writes this: "For as yet they," meaning the disciples, "did not understand the scriptures that he must rise from the dead." They didn't get it. They didn't understand. And so Mary is weeping because she thinks her Lord is missing. He's gone. Somebody took his body. It's been sad enough that he died, and now his body is gone. But she shouldn't be weeping. She shouldn't be weeping. And this is what the angels ask her. The angels show up. Two angels show up in verse 13. And they say to her, "Why are you weeping?" I think it's a gentle rebuke of Mary. Mary, you shouldn't be. You should have known that when you came on the third day, this thing would be empty. There'd be no body here. Mary, he's not missing. He's alive. But she hasn't connected the dots yet. She hasn't figured out that what Jesus said would happen has actually happened. It makes sense. She's struggling to believe. All the other women at the tomb, the disciples, they should not have been surprised or sad that the tomb was empty. In fact, they should have been rejoicing. They should have been rejoicing. Everything that Jesus said is true. He said he would rise from the dead. The tomb's empty. He must be alive. Where is he? But instead, Mary is weeping because she thinks Jesus is dead and his body's missing. I think this adds such credibility to the resurrection story. That the disciples were not making up some falsified account of the resurrection of Jesus. They actually thought he was still dead. They weren't looking for a man walking around. They were looking for a dead body wrapped up still. The disciples wouldn't make this up. If they were to make this up, I think they would make themselves and Mary look better. They would go, "Oh, yeah, we knew. We believed what he said. There he is alive. We're not weeping, we're rejoicing." No, but the reality is they're weeping. They're sad. They're confused. There's not some big elaborate plan to pretend that Jesus was raised from the dead. Mary thought he was dead and should be in the tomb. And she loves him deeply. She loves him and she wants to take care of his body and honor him, but he isn't there. And even two angels asking her the question, "Why are you weeping?" doesn't shake her from that. I mean, you would think that would be enough to go, "Whoa, yeah, maybe I should wonder, why am I weeping?" No, but she's so lost in the grief of her Savior dying, her Lord dying, that she can't even come out of it with the question from the angels. And then in verse 14, she turns around. And there's Jesus, but she doesn't recognize him. You think, really? She doesn't recognize him. Now, of course, there's tears in her eyes. But I think in the moment of grief and panic, it's easy to get lost in that, isn't it? It's easy to forget, to not recognize, to not pay attention to things. Many of you know the problem. You're walking around your house and you're asking, "Has anybody seen my glasses? Anybody? Where are my glasses?" Right? For days. Where are my glasses? Oh, right there, right? Or maybe for us younger generation. "Anybody see my phone? Can somebody find my phone? Call my phone." And it's right in your hand, right? I mean, we do it all the time when we meet other people. We see them, we kind of recognize them, but we're not sure their name. I think it's why guys created words like dude, bro, right? We came up with other words so we could say hi to somebody because we forgot their name, right? Well, that's not really what's happening with Mary. She's just not forgetful like that, right? She's lost in grief. She expects that Jesus is dead. And yet there he is alive. Now, he did not look like he looked the last time she saw him, hanging on a cross, beaten and bruised, grotesque to a certain level. So she doesn't recognize him at first. See, she's not looking for a risen Savior. She's looking for the dead body. Even when Jesus talks to her, at first she doesn't understand that it's him. And Jesus asks her the same question as the angels in verse 15. Woman, why are you weeping? I think it's the same gentle kind of rebuke. Mary, you shouldn't be weeping. I'm right here. But she can't see him yet. And then he asks her the question, whom are you seeking? Mary, who are you seeking? Who are you looking for? Mary loved Jesus. She gave her life to Jesus. But it wasn't until our next verse and our next point comes that she understands that Jesus is alive. See, her vision was too small. She couldn't imagine that Jesus could die and then be raised from the dead. She's seeking a dead body when right in front of her is the risen Savior. Who are you seeking, Mary? I think it's a great question for all of us to ask. Who are we seeking? Or what are you seeking in your life? What are you looking for to provide for you whatever it might be that you think you need? What do you think is going to be the thing that answers all your questions, provides for you the hope that you so desperately want, satisfies you deep down into the depth of your soul? We're looking for all kinds of things, aren't we? We're seeking so many things. Good health, peace, financial security, good careers, friends, emotional experiences. I mean, just 2 weeks ago when Dan preached, he reminded us we seek after brawn and brains and bullion. We look for all these things in our life to provide for us, but none of them can. Just like if Jesus is still dead, then he can't provide anything for Mary. Then everything that happened, all that went along, everything that Jesus said just goes away. And there's nothing there. It's pointless to keep looking for the dead body. He won't do anything for her. But if Jesus is alive, and she seeks after the risen Savior, then everything changes. Because that means everything he's ever said about himself, everything he ever promised to be, has come true. That he's not still in the grave. He's alive and he conquered sin and death. He is God in the flesh. And he won the victory. He's everything we could ever hope for. See, this is why in John, in the Gospel of John, and if you've never read it, I'd encourage you, 7 times John includes these statements from Jesus, where Jesus says, I am, and then he uses this metaphorical description of something to say who he is. He said that he is the bread of life, the light of the world, the door to the sheep, the good shepherd, the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth and the life, the true vine. There's much more to say about Jesus, but John all along has been trying to help us see that Jesus, in Jesus, is everything we ever need. Everything we've ever longed for, wanted in our life, is ultimately found in Jesus. And his resurrection is the seal and the proof that it was all true. That it was all true. He told them he would suffer and die and rise from the dead. And he did. That means he can take on all our sin. It means in the resurrected Jesus that all the seeking, whatever we seek for other than him, we can stop because it's all found in Jesus. And I think that's why Jesus asked Mary, who are you seeking? You're seeking something dead. That won't help you. I'm alive. Seek after me. Come to me. And you'll find everything you've ever needed, especially forgiveness of sins and eternal life. But Mary's not quite there. She's not quite convinced with the questions that Jesus asked. So Jesus, he needs to reveal himself to her, and he does. He does. Look in verse 16. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Don't you wish you could be there for that moment? Just to hear him say her name. He says her name and she immediately knows it's Jesus. You know, a voice is powerful, isn't it? A name is powerful. Just this last week, Lisa and I brought, we were thinking about this, these married couple that we knew 25 years ago. And we were wondering, oh, what's up with them? I don't know why they came to mind, but we thought about them, and I thought, I wonder where they are. And so the all-powerful Facebook helped us see where they are in life, and I saw that he's a pastor at a church in Tennessee, and so I went and looked, and he preached some sermon, and I hit start, and I heard his voice, and I went, oh, yeah, that's Grant. I hadn't heard his voice in over 20 years, but I immediately recognized his voice. That's true for you, isn't it? There's people, as soon as you hear their voice, even if it's been years and years and years, you immediately know who it is. This is such a beautiful, personal, intimate, loving call from Jesus. To get Mary out of her seeking for the dead body that's not there, but to bring her back to himself. And he just simply calls her name, Mary. In that moment, her eyes are fully opened. All the dots are connected, and she realizes it's him. It's him. It's Jesus. He really is alive. This picture, what happens here with Jesus and Mary, is exactly what happened with you if you have trusted in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. It's exactly what Jesus did for you. He called you by name and you turned to him. He initiated with you all the seeking in your life, looking for something else to satisfy you, to meet your need. And he called you by name and you turned and you trusted in him. How do we know this? Because this is what Jesus says he does. Back earlier in the gospel according to John in chapter 10, this is what Jesus says about a shepherd, verses 3 and 4. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And then Jesus, relating himself to a shepherd, he says this, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. See, if you have trusted in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, that happened after Jesus called your name. Now, it is unlikely that Jesus audibly called your name like he did here with Mary. That didn't happen to me. I doubt it happened to most of you. But when you heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, when your mom or your dad shared with you the good news of the gospel, or that friend on campus or your coworker, or the Bible when you read it, or you came to a church and you heard God's word preached, it was through the sharing of the word of God that God called your name and called you to himself. That he said, all your seeking is over. Everything you've ever been looking for is found in me. Will you turn and will you trust me? And I'll forgive you of all your sins and give you eternal life. Jesus calls out to Mary. And that's what he did for us. He called our name. And we came to know him as the risen Savior. Isn't it incredible? Now, maybe you're here today and you have not yet trusted in Christ. Maybe you haven't. You haven't decided to follow Jesus. You haven't believed in him for the forgiveness of your sins. Well, my question to you is, do you hear his voice calling you? Do you sense and acknowledge that you have sinned against God, that you have gone your own independent way, that you've been seeking for life in anyone else other than Jesus? And do you realize that he's the one that came to die for you, to pay for your sin that you should have paid for, but he took it upon himself? He went to the cross so that your sins could be forgiven. And then he was raised to new life, giving you life forever and ever with God. If you believe that to be true, that is, through the word of God, Jesus calling your name. And today is a great day to turn. Just like Mary heard her name and she turned to Jesus. Today is a great day to turn to Jesus, to trust him for the forgiveness of your sins, and to be given eternal life with God forever. What a beautiful picture that John includes here of Jesus calling Mary's name. He reveals himself to her, and he will do the same for us. And when he does, we turn. We turn to look at him as the risen Savior. Mary now, she gets it. She understands. All the disciples didn't understand all the scriptures. Now, all the dots have been connected. She knows her seeking is totally over. It's all found in Jesus. But the story doesn't end there. He's alive. He's risen from the dead. But now he's got a job for Mary to do. And that's our next point. Mary obeys her teacher. Look in verse 17. Jesus says to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary is holding on to him. "Do not cling to me. Don't touch me," he says, which means she's grabbing him. Another small little proof that Jesus is not a ghost. She's not imagining this scenario. He's actually there. He really is alive in this glorified body. She grabs hold of him. And he says, "Don't cling to me. I'm ascending to my Father." Now, he says it like it's happening in the moment. He's not floating above the ground and she's trying to pull him down. No, see, this whole week, this whole story is like one play in several acts. That Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, the triumphal entry, his arrest, then his suffering, his crucifixion, his burial, his resurrection, and then ultimately his ascension, where he will go back to heaven for a time. He will come again. He will go back to heaven so that the Holy Spirit will come. Jesus sees this all as one play in different acts. So Jesus says, "I am ascending," but he also says, "I haven't yet ascended." And so Mary's holding on to him, and he says, "Look, you need to let me go." I think part of that is because you're going to see me before I really go. You're going to have a chance to see me again. I'm going to be around for a month or so, and then I'm going to go to be with the Father. So let me go, Mary. You've seen me. You've heard me call your name. You've touched me. Now I have a job for you to do. You need to go and tell others. You need to go and tell the disciples that you've seen me. I think this is one more proof of the validity of the resurrection story. At the current time, the testimony of women would be not viewed very highly, even disregarded as worthy to be paid attention to. They just didn't have a voice like they do today. Praise God for that. But if the disciples wanted to make up this story, they certainly would have not had Mary Magdalene be the first one that John says saw Jesus. and be the first witness to him, to touch him, and then go and tell others she saw him. But it's exactly what happened. They're not making anything up. They're just telling the story as it happened. And so Jesus reveals himself to Mary, and then he says, you need to go and tell my brothers. He calls them his brothers, because now they're part of the kingdom of God. They're part of the family of God. Now, there is a distinction between Jesus' relationship with his Father and our relationship with our Father, which is why he says in there, my God and your God. My Father, your Father. Same God, same Father, but a distinction. Jesus is God, and by his death, burial, and resurrection now, and his grace, we now can call God our Father as well. And Jesus says to Mary, go and tell the brothers that I'm ascending. Tell them. Tell them. And so what does Mary do? She goes. Look in verse 18. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. What a statement. And then she tells them everything else he said. I have seen the Lord. Her first response after Jesus calls her name and she realizes that he's alive is to then do exactly what he told her to do. It's to obey him. And it's to go and tell the brothers, he's alive. I've seen the Lord. Have you seen the Lord? Has he called your name? Did he call you out of all your seeking for false things? Things that would leave you empty and wanting? Did he call you to himself? If he did, then you have seen the Lord. If he saved you from your sin, you have seen the Lord. And perhaps, just like Mary, we have an opportunity to tell others, I've seen the Lord. He changed my life. Mary had a story to tell. In Luke chapter 8, verse 2, we learn that Mary had 7 demons, and Jesus freed her from the demons. This woman had a story to tell. And now she's seen the risen Savior, and she goes and says, I have seen the Lord. He's alive. He's alive. He's not dead. His body's not missing. I saw him. I touched him. I heard him call my name. And he's going to ascend to be with the Father, and the Spirit will come. What a glorious picture it is. And what an invitation it is for us on Easter, to proclaim to anyone who will listen to us, I have seen the Lord. Have you? Have you seen the Lord? What are you seeking for? Everything that you're looking for is found in him, because he's not dead. He's alive. He conquered sin and death. He overcame the grave. And now we have a story to tell. We have a story to tell that Jesus is alive. He saved me from my sin, and he can do the same for you. Stop seeking for anything other than Jesus. Everything is found in him. Let's pray. Father, we give you glory and praise for the story of the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, that he overcame the grave, that he conquered the grave, that he did pay for our sin on the cross, and that he came back to life, proving that we can be forgiven and born again into relationship with you, made righteous in your sight because of the righteousness of Christ. Father, help us, whether we are yet to know you or whether we already do know you, to stop seeking for anything other than Jesus. All of life is truly found in the risen Savior, Jesus. And then help us, as we've trusted in him, we respond to the call of our name to turn from our sin and trust in Jesus. Help us to proclaim to all who will hear that we have seen the Lord. We give you praise, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen.